I'm going to read in your hearing a few verses from Luke's Gospel, Luke chapter 6, verses 27 to 36. And I'm going to try and focus in on verses 29 and 30. Powerful verses, the words of our Lord. Luke 6, 27 to 36, "But I say unto you, which hear, love your enemies, do good to them which hate you. Bless them that curse you, and pray for them which despitefully use you. And unto him that smiteth thee on the one cheek, offer also the other. And him that taketh away thy cloak, forbid not to take thy coat also. Give to every man that asketh of thee, and of him that taketh away thy goods, ask them not again. And as ye would that men should do to you, do ye also to them likewise. For if ye love them which love you, what thank have ye? For sinners also love those that love them. And if ye do good to them which do good to you, what thank have ye? For sinners also do even the same. And if ye lend to them of whom ye hope to receive, what thank have ye? For sinners also lend to sinners to receive as much again. But love ye your enemies, and do good, and lend, hoping for nothing again. And your reward shall be great, and ye shall be the children of the Highest. For he is kind unto the unthankful, and to the evil. Be ye therefore merciful, as your Father also is merciful." May God help us to hear his word this afternoon. You may be seated. I return your attention to two more verses in Luke's Gospel, verses 29 and 30, powerful verses. "And unto him that smiteth thee on the one cheek, offer also the other. And him that taketh away thy cloak, forbid not to take thy coat also. Give to every man that asketh of thee, and to him that taketh away thy goods, ask them not again." And these two verses clearly reveal two things, and many more things as well, but just two by way of preliminary comment. The first thing is that just these two verses show you again the truth that was spoken by those who were sent to arrest Jesus. They were sent to arrest Jesus, but they returned without him, and the authorities were annoyed that they hadn't returned with Jesus. And they said, "Why didn't you bring him?" What was their answer? "No man spake as this man spake." They were so awed by what he was saying that the idea of arresting him was just ludicrous. And they went away awed by what he had spoken. What folly is seen in men who think they have a right to question the words and teachings of Jesus? Do they do this so they don't have to face what he teaches? Criticize, question, and doubt his words? Let's be honest, friends. His teachings search us out. They search us out. And to think he has called fallible men to try and explain them. Which leads me to my second preliminary comment. Just these two verses and what they contain show why Jesus begins what is called his Sermon on the Mount, a sermon that contains similar commands of the Lord. Such verses explain why he begins that much longer sermon with those well-known words, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of God." For if anyone wants to face how far short they have fallen of the glory of God, read and meditate on just what Jesus teaches and commands in these two verses. And anyone saying that they don't need to cry out, Lord, have mercy on me, a sinner, has shown that they have not heard Jesus. They are still dead in sins. For what Jesus commands is the exact opposite. What Jesus commands is the exact opposite to the world, the flesh, and the devil. To the thinking of the unsaved man, if someone treats me right, if someone treats me the way I think I should be treated, I will respond in kind. You pat my back, I'll pat yours. But if someone hits me on one cheek, turn to them the other. If they take my coat, don't sweat it. If they ask for my shirt as well. Give to him, knowing he's going to misuse what I'm giving him. Don't pursue someone who has taken away what belongs to me. Who teaches such things today? Jesus does. Jesus does. Oh, if you have not struggled with the teachings of Jesus to his disciples, are you even alive mentally and spiritually? I mean, no disrespect. I'm not trying to offend you. I'm not trying to upset you. But does Jesus not say, why do you call me Lord, Lord, and do not do the things that I say? His redeemed people are to be doers and not just hearers of his word. His redeemed people are to be doers and not just preachers of his gospel commands. Oh Lord, such verses show me that apart from thee, I can do nothing. To be a doer and not just a hearer or a preacher of the gospel commands of Jesus. But what do these gospel commands mean? And unto him that smiteth thee on one cheek, offer also the other. And him that taketh away thy cloak, forbid not to take thy coat also. Give to every man that asketh of thee. And of him that taketh away thy goods, ask them not again. What do such commands mean? Why is Jesus telling his blood-bought people? What's he telling us to do if we confess him? What's he telling us to do by his enabling grace? I will try to open up what Jesus commands in these two verses by considering three things. By considering three things, by no means exhaustive. First, they show you that Jesus meant what he said when he said, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. He meant that. He meant that. Because do not such commands show you this truth? Do you not have to die to self daily to even consider living out this truth? Second, these commands mean having to face what they are telling you about the person doing the things that require you to turn the other cheek and who wants your cloak as well as your coat. And third, I think they mean looking for examples of those who have lived out these verses by the grace of God as a means of encouragement, as a means of challenge. There have been and there are those who have been enabled to apply these things through him who gave grace and gives them strength. May that be our prayer unto him as we read such verses and hear them expounded on. May he be pleased to do for us, for you, for me. Should the Lord have decreed to see if you or I have correctly heard them. So to begin, Do such commands as these not show you that when Jesus said, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me? Do these two verses clearly show you he wasn't kidding? For is not denying self, is not dying to self writ large on just these gospel commands of Jesus? Being hit hurts. Being hit hurts. But seeking to retaliate could only make things worse, even deadly. Laying up in your heart the truth of what Jesus teaches here, as hard as it is to the flesh, can prevent a difficult situation from escalating into a worse one. Proverbs 17:14, the beginning of strife is as when one letteth out water, therefore leave off contention before it be meddled with. Now, I am not denying that believers have and will continue to be struck physically for standing for the truth of the gospel and the word of God before Christ returns. Just think of our brethren in North Korea. They've had their cloak and their coats taken away from them and thrown into a prison cell. But a way to prepare for such a possibility, if you are verbally assaulted or physically assaulted for confessing the truth, I say to you, friends, in all seriousness, don't study how to be like a Don Rickles. If you know who Don Rickles is, he was a man who could quickly respond with that jab. I pray that he wasn't like that in private. It was simply his occupation as a comedian. But don't study how to be like Don Rickles. A soft answer turns away wrath, but a harsh word stirs up anger, friends, and it may even stir up a hand. If you have been insulted and been able to overcome it by the grace of God, don't brood on it. Don't brood on it. Love keeps no record of wrongs. Pray for the person in light of what it is telling you about him, my second point in a moment, and pray for your own ongoing response to it. Why did he or she treat me like that? Who does he or she think they are to be treating me this way? Die to self. Deny self. Will you be able to turn the physical cheek if you haven't learned to die to what others think about you or say to you? Don't be quick to take offense if you can't take verbal abuse. Not that I'm condoning it. Verbal abuse is sin and needs to be repented of, just as being physically struck does. But if you react in the flesh to verbal assaults, will you be able to resist responding to physical assaults in the flesh? God enable us to be quick to listen, slow to speak, slow to wrath, because my wrath does not display his righteousness. Remember, people can strike you with their tongues. They can slap you, as it were, with their tongues. To apply these words, you must die to what the world thinks is the right response to being mistreated by others. You will never apply these words of Jesus if you think the world will ever endorse them. The world's never going to endorse the teachings of Jesus. The motto of the world is, I don't get mad, I get even. You are not going to die to self by seeking to apply these commands if you nurture and feed the spirit of Lamech. What is the spirit of Lamech? Genesis 4, verse 23. And Lamech said unto his wives, Ada and Zillah, hear my voice. Ye wives of Lamech, hearken unto my speech. For I have slain a man to my wounding and a young man to my hurt. Somebody injured him in some way, he killed him. You will never be able to apply these teachings of our Lord if you do not put to death the spirit of Lamech. Because think of it, how many brood like a chicken over some eggs? How many brood over ways to get even for being unjustly treated? Rather than meditating on the words of Jesus as to how those who confess him are to act in this world. How different would this world be if those who confess to being Christian took the gospel commands of Jesus seriously? This means don't be a Pharisee. This means don't be a Pharisee. Friends, what were the Pharisees expert at? They were expert at lowering the bar. They were expert at lowering the bar so they didn't have to die to self in getting over the bar they lowered. Yes, the bar of he that smiteth thee on the one cheek, offer also the other, and him that taketh away the thy cloak, forbid not to take thy coat also. Friends, that's high. That's high. But lowering it is not the answer. It means crying out to the Lord in prayer, Lord, without thee I can do nothing. Especially turn the other cheek. But with thee I can do all things, even turn the other cheek. But this means turning the other cheek correctly. What do I mean? How many, if they are unjustly struck, will goad the person on? Come on, come on, I dare you to do that again. They turn this command into a goad. You hit me once, hit me again, and see how far you get. That's not the teaching of Jesus. Jesus says, turn the other cheek. He doesn't say, goad the other person to strike you again. Turning the other cheek means you are not going to retaliate or respond in kind. As I said, the motto of the believer is not, I don't get mad, I get even. That's not the motto of a believer in Christ. And friend, realize something. It's not wrong to be angry at sinful treatment. Paul says what? Be ye angry. That's an imperative. And the only thing we should be angry at is sin. Being mistreated is sinful. Be ye angry, but do not allow being sinfully treated lead you into sinfully thinking that there are sinful, that these sinful actions towards you justifies your sinful actions towards them. Be ye angry and let not the sin go down on your wrath. Dying to self means trusting in the Lord. What if you did give to everyone who asked you? You can't outgive God. Although in these warped COVID days, how many are going to come up to you and ask you for something? But don't reject the teaching of Jesus by rationalizing and thinking that you are omniscient. I know they will misuse it. I know that they will misuse it. But with the giving, you also have an opportunity, believer, to speak the truth of the gospel. You have a gospel opportunity. Denying to self means if someone was to unjustly take something from you, he or she could only have done it under the sovereignty of God. If they take it away, I will not starve. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him and he will make your path straight. By these gospel commands, Jesus is giving you ways to show that you have died to self. But second, gospel commands like these means remembering what those doing these things to you are telling you about them. Simply put, they need Christ. Simply put, they need Christ. Because to the best of my knowledge, true Christians are not in the habit of smiting others. To the best of my knowledge, true Christians are not in the habit of taking things that don't belong to them. To the best of my knowledge, true Christians are not in the habit of panhandling. So remember what those doing these things are telling you about them. These things are testimonies to the fallen heart of man. Because should a person strike you? No. Should a person take what is yours? No. But such things are telling you something about that person. They're not Christian. And the response of those mistreating you or misusing you in the ways described in these two verses, after your spirit-enabled right response, is not your responsibility. You do what Jesus says. And friends, don't be surprised if the world thinks you're a fool. To be a fool for Christ's sake. To be a fool for Christ's sake. For if you don't seek the help of the Spirit of God to apply these commands of Jesus when you are mistreated and respond in the flesh and not the Spirit, think of what the Spirit cannot do. If you respond in the flesh and not in the Spirit, what can the Spirit not do? He cannot use your example to bring conviction into the heart of the one who has mistreated you. And friends, brethren, I'm not just preaching to you. I'm not just preaching to you. Did any of those who mistreated Jesus come to true repentance and faith? I don't know, but perish the thought. But if Jesus had responded in kind, they would have had no loving example to be convicted by. What did the centurion say when he saw the response of Jesus from the cross? Surely this was a righteous man. And what does Paul write under the infallible inspiration of the Holy Spirit in Romans 12, verse 17 to the end of the chapter? Recompense to no man evil for evil. Provide things honest in the sight of all men, if it be possible, as much as lieth in you, live peaceably with all men. Dearly beloved, avenge not yourselves, but rather give place unto wrath, for it is written, vengeance is mine. I will repay, saith the Lord. Therefore, if thine enemy hunger, feed him. If he thirst, give him drink. For in so doing, thou shalt heap coals of fire on his head. Be not overcome of evil, but overcome evil with good. If he strikes you on the one cheek, turn to him the other, because the Holy Spirit can use that to bring that person to conviction. If he takes something away that belongs to you, ask not for it back. Pray that the Lord would convict them. And that leads me to the third thing these gospel commands show you. They show you that you need to look for examples. You and I need to look for examples of those who lived out these verses, to be encouraged by those examples, to be instructed by those examples, and yes, to be challenged by them. It's possible, by the grace of God, to live out these things, not to our glory, but to His. For what did Paul say? Imitate me as I also imitate Christ. Remember earlier I said, don't be a Pharisee trying to lower the bar of the commands of the Lord. Look for examples in the scriptures, in church history, and today to be instructed by, to be encouraged by, and to be challenged by, showing you that it is possible to apply these gospel commands in this real world. Study and meditate on the reactions of Jesus to his unjust treatment. Study and meditate on the reactions of those who reflect Christ in the scriptures. It's just, if I can just give you some examples, think of that little servant girl. Think of that little servant girl taken from her family and country into Syria. Her family was probably killed, taken away from all she knew. She's a captive of the captain of the Syrian army, Naaman, who was what? A leper. See how she did more than just turn the other cheek. But what did she do? She told Naaman how he could be healed. Then you have the examples of Stephen and Paul. Their examples are not given to cast you down, but to show you it's possible to do all things through Christ, who alone can give you the strength to do them. I repeat, there is no biblical example of anyone confessing Christ in the New Testament being mistreated, returning that mistreatment in kind. Is this the impression that this hate-filled world has gotten from the churches over the last 2,000 years? Oh, to learn how to love the truth in a kind and gracious way. Speaking the truth in love, not in arrogance and pride. That believer loves the Lord Jesus Christ in sincerity, and he is showing it by not responding to me like I am to him. Jesus had the Spirit without measure. In light of this, friends, what was it like to hear Jesus say, woe? What was it like to hear Jesus say, woe? Not like those who march with their banners and say, God hates this and God hates that. What was it like to hear Jesus say, you err? You err, not knowing the scriptures or the power of God. What was it like to hear Jesus say, hypocrites? He spoke what needed to be said. Woe in love. He called them hypocrites in love. No man spake as this man spake. Remember what he did as he approached the city that he knew had men in it that were planning to do what? Kill him. What did he do? He wept over it. He wept over it. Remember, the world is going to look at you like you are a fool to respond like Jesus did when he was unjustly treated, when he was unjustly struck and spat upon. If you get how you are to respond to unjust treatment from Hollywood blockbusters and not the example of Jesus and those seeking to imitate him in the scriptures and out of the scriptures, don't be surprised if you will not be able to follow his example and the great cloud of witnesses that you and I are surrounded by. Are we using the examples that Arthur has been reading from Fox's Book of Martyrs to say to ourselves, it's possible. It's possible to turn the other cheek to the glory of God and the good of souls. I've included prayers for our persecuted brothers and sisters in the world on our prayer list. As you remember them before the throne of grace, you can say to yourself, here are living examples of my brothers and sisters in Christ seeking to shine as lights in a dark and persecuting world, applying the teachings of our Lord and Savior. Would not the one who was taken into the jungle and chained to a tree overnight have to turn the other cheek? Oh, may the next time the Lord brings someone into your life who acts sinfully towards you, may the Lord be pleased to bring back to your mind his living words of response. And unto him that smiteth thee on the one cheek, offer also the other. And him that taketh away thy cloak, forbid not to take thy coat also. Give to every man that asketh of thee, and of him that taketh away thy goods, ask them not again. May our prayers for ourselves and for one another be, Lord, make me more like Jesus. Make me more like Jesus, regardless of what others think about me, regardless of what others say to me, regardless of what others do to me, regardless of what others take from me. Lord, make me more like my only Lord and Savior, thy beloved Son, to the glory of his name and the good of the souls that need him. Let us pray. Our Lord and our God, a man can preach these verses, if I've preached them properly, I will see them lived out in my life by your grace. And if those who have listened have heard properly, they will seek by your grace to live them out in your life, in their lives. Lord, with you we can do all things, even turn the other cheek. But without you we can do nothing. Give us the wisdom to cry for the filling of your Spirit in these days, that we might be a living example to the one who said from the cross, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. We ask in his wonderful name. Amen.